Item 8, Ken Murdoch.
Mr. Holland.
I need a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Ernie can't wait that long.
Okay, Mr. Murdoch is requesting authorization to construct 4 6-foot-wide by 50-foot-long stone and or gabion basket breakwaters, artificially nourished with approximately 444 cubic yards of sand of appropriate grain size and composition adjacent to his property situated along Glebe Creek in Westmoreland County. The project is protested by an adjacent property owner. Again, this is on Glebe Creek, a tributary to Lower Machota Creek in Westmoreland County. Arrow here points to the location. Some commission members might recognize this particular site. I believe it was in June. Mr. Murdoch's neighbor, the Whitcombs, on this property, had applied for a project in which he and the neighbor up above them had protested. And now the Whitcombs are actually Miss Whitcomb is in protest of Mr. Murdoch's project here on his property. This is his home and his pier. Again, Mr. Murdoch's home here and his pier. The proposed project is located in a residential area along Glebe Creek. The applicant is seeking authorization to install 4 breakwaters, 2 of which will on each side of the pier. The breakwaters are proposed to be constructed either out of gabion baskets filled with stone or with a riprap stone construction. And they will also be proposed to be artificially nourished with 444 cubic yards of clean sand. That's 111 cubic yards per breakwater. The applicant's property includes banks ranging from approximately 3 to 4 feet in height with some undercutting. The current proposal also includes 50 linear feet of riprap revetment installed landward of mean low water and adjacent to his existing private pier. That portion of the project is above mean low water, and the Westmoreland County Wetlands Board approved that riprap on September 19, 2005. And just for reference, the riprap was on either side of the pier along the bank in this general area here. This is just a plat of the property here, again, his pier and his home. This is the application drawing here showing the 4 breakwaters backfilled. Just a simple cross-section. This is for the breakwaters that are proposed to be built out of the gabion baskets, shown here in gray. Each basket is about 1.5 feet in height, 3 feet in width. And we stack similar to this, where you'll have approximately 3 feet from the substrate, so it'll come just above mean high water. And then in the alternative, Mr. Murdoch has proposed to also use gabion, riprap, similar construction with a 6-foot base width, 3 feet high. And they have also proposed to backfill that, similar to what you would see with many breakwater growing projects. By letter dated June 13, 2006, Ms. Jane Whitcomb, an adjacent property owner, stated that her objection to Mr. Murdoch's proposed project, in particular, Ms. Whitcomb felt that the proposed breakwaters would result in shoaling off her property, would impede access to her pier and boat lift, and would deprive downdrift properties and sand and increase erosion rates. Ms. Whitcomb suggests the creation of a vegetated intertidal zone or marsh grass fringe in conjunction with riprap to solve Mr. Murdoch's erosion problems to protect his shoreline. The picture that's on the screen now is actually taken from off of the dock on Mrs. Whitcomb's property, looking over towards Mr. Murdoch's pier. And again, there'll be 30 feet off the shore here. There'll be two breakwaters on each side of the pier, 50 foot in length. Virginia Institute of Marine Science Shoreline Permit Application Report dated September 14th, 2005 stated that the low sills or breakwaters should help dissipate wave energy and protect Mr. Murdoch's shoreline. VIMS does not, however, recommend the use of gabion baskets in marine environments. Instead, they recommend the use of a more traditional riprap construction. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, in an email dated February 15, 2006, indicated that they do not anticipate a significant adverse impact upon threatened or endangered wildlife resources under their jurisdiction. They further recommended incorporating wetland, mudflat, and or vegetated dune features into the design, and that strict erosion and sediment control measures be employed. The Department of Conservation and Recreation, in a memorandum dated March 6, 2006, stated that they do not anticipate the proposed project will result in any adverse impacts upon natural heritage resources, state-listed plants or insects, or state natural area preserves. Their memo goes on to state that all proposed land disturbance, clearing, and grading must comply with the Chesapeake Bay Preservation Area designation and management regulations. The Shoreline Erosion Advisory Service of the Department of Conservation and Recreation, in a letter to Mr. Murdoch dated July 31, 2006, recommended the installation of a riprap breakwater nourished with good quality sand and planted with wetland vegetation to address erosion issues and in an attempt to establish a fringe marsh along his property. And no other state agencies have raised any concerns or objections to the project. Just go through a few more photographs here. Again, just a little bit further away, you see the distance from the pier on the Whitcomb's property, looking across. And this is on the downstream side of Mr. Murdoch's pier here, looking at the shoreline here, his vegetation and so forth, and he's trying to maintain what he has there. For our submarine recommendation, while staff is sensitive to concerns of the protestant, the project design calls for the breakwaters to be installed inboard of the protestant's pier and boat lift and at a distance that any shoaling should be limited to the area immediately adjacent to the shoreline next to the nearest breakwater. The breakwaters may actually benefit the protestant shoreline, which abuts the applicant's property, by providing an additional buffer from erosion. However, staff cannot support the placement of nourishment behind the proposed breakwaters since construction access is proposed by barge and because the nourishment could disrupt natural sediment transport along the shoreline of this low-energy environment. Additionally, staff cannot support the use of wire gabion baskets for the construction of the proposed breakwaters and would instead prefer the commission require the use of riprap construction for each of the proposed breakwaters. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, since impacts resulting from the use of state-owned submerged land should be minimal, and after considering all the factors contained in Section 20.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the proposed breakwaters be approved as proposed, but that the proposed breakwaters be constructed of riprap only, and the proposed nourishment of the groynes be denied. If, however, the commission were to approve the placement of the nourishment material behind the proposed breakwaters, staff would recommend the assessment of a one-time royalty in the amount of $300 for the encroachment of any nourishment over 6,000 square feet of state-owned subaqueous land at a rate of 5 cents per square foot. With that, I'd be willing to answer any questions. I also believe that the applicant is here. I have not seen the protestant, though she told me yesterday she was planning to be here.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, I have a question for staff. Question relates to the revetment. There's a revetment in the drawing, and I didn't see a mention of that in the narrative. Are you recommending that be approved as per the drawing?
Was actually is above mean low water.
Okay, so it's extra jurisdiction.
It was approved by the Wetlands Board in Westmoreland County. Okay.
Mr.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant here? Mr. Murdoch? Let me swear you in. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name.
Kenneth H. Murdoch,
and
owner.
And you're the property owner, okay?
Right.
Okay.
There's two issues that Ben has presented to you, as you can see. One is the construction nature of the offshore breakwater, and the other is the issue of nourishment. If you would, deal with the breakwater first, because if you don't put the breakwater in, the nourishment is a moot issue. I would like to preserve the option of using gabions and or stone. One of the reasons is you see that shoreline. I'm trying to preserve that 50 to 100 foot vegetated zone. That's what the state has been trying to encourage landowners to do. It's the best shoreline arrangement. I don't want to strip the shoreline and have a barren shoreline, riprap, graded back, difficult to revegetate. I want to leave it like it is. The offshore breakwater is the right answer, I believe. It's a low energy area, and particularly over here on the right side, you see it's more shallow. It's losing all its marsh grass since we've owned the property in the last 4 years. Most of that is coming from storms, but a great deal of it is increased use of high-speed jet skis. They're in there on weekend at high tide, and that just eats the marsh away. We might have been able to maintain the marsh 10 or 20 years ago without doing anything, but if we're losing it now, losing it slowly, and I've seen that since the beginning. I'd like to have the gabion option, particularly on that side, because I think that's the simplest and cheapest, most effective answer. I know some people don't like gabions because they only last 20, 25 years with the wire coating. Well, to me, 25 years is a long time. I hope I have that mentioned. But you can come back in and use heavy stone and armor them if they start to deteriorate. This is not a swimming area. The only boaters are the jet skiers and the crabber who comes in there with his boat, and I don't think they're going to be impacting on that wire. On close to the pier, maybe it would be better to use stone. I prefer stone, but I don't want to use mechanical equipment. You can't do it effectively. You're 30 feet offshore, you almost have to place it by barge. If I can't find a good proposal, well, that leaves me, lower cost options to go out there and use the gabions. And by the way, the chairman of the Westmoreland County Wetland Board, that's what he did with his property. He put gabion baskets out there, and he walks out there and puts the stone in. He can use a class 1A stone, 50 pounds or so, fill the basket, whereas offshore breakwater, you should use class 1 stone, 50 to 150 pounds. It should be placed on barge. Not that easy, but you have the logistics of putting stone from a truck onto a barge at some landing area and bringing it around and offloading it in the proper place. It may seem simple, but it just runs the cost up. And not every contractor is willing to deal with that. So I'd like to preserve the option of doing it whatever way seems to be most engineeringly feasible and economically feasible. Nourishment. My original proposal was to wait 2 years and see what nature did to build a cibola behind those breakwaters. I still think that's the best approach. However, two state agencies have said, fill it immediately. Fill the whole thing. Okay, it's an issue. If I were to go with a two-year option, say on a three-year permit, wait 2 years, I could go in and spot fill where we need to fill a hole to expand the marsh. There'll be more marsh grass gradually filling in, and I think at that point, you get by with a lot less than 400 some cubic yards, probably more like 10% or less of that, and the area covered would be proportionally about 10%. So in summary, I'd like to preserve the option of gabion and or stone, make the choice as needed, and I'm willing to accept the staff recommendation to not have immediate nourishment. That's cheaper to me. It reduces the immediate upfront reduction of intertidal marsh grasses for Tyne alternifolia, I would think is what would grow there. But I prefer my original proposal. 2 years, what, if you want to limit it, say, to 30 yards and 500 square feet or some nominal thing you'd like to find, and waive the fee because we're in the de minimis area. 5 cents a square foot, and what, 500, 300 square feet, yeah. $15, $25. Any questions?
Does any member have any questions of the applicant? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Uh-huh. Is there anybody else that's in favor of this project? Is there any opposition to the project? Hearing no opposition, then the matter is before the commission.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
May I ask a question of him?
Fox,
You state in your report that you don't want to use gabion baskets. You recommend the riprap alone. Is that because they deteriorate? Is that the reason? What is the reason?
Yes, that's the reason, is that they tend to use smaller stone, and if the baskets deteriorate, then the stone can come out of the basket, result in secondary impacts. And also we've seen that maybe they aren't accomplished and stacked in a manner that's stable, and they may collapse.
Okay. That's what I thought. But
any other comments?
Question for staff. The wire, is this galvanized wire or is this steel wire?
PVC coated.
There's typically several options, and I believe we're talking about PVC coated. Typically, they used to be galvanized, and then they've taken the galvanized now and dipped them in PVC coating. The concern, though, that we've had, similar to what Vim's just explained, is that over time they do wear, and any time there's any type of energy in the system during a storm or whatnot, the rocks will tend to rub on that PVC and actually remove some of the coating and only help to deteriorate the baskets themselves.
I have one question.
Mr. Schick?
Now, this is a higher energy area than, some areas. I know the Potomac is. This is in the creek there.
Yeah, I think this is pretty well sheltered. You can see in the photograph here, this point actually protects Mr. Murdoch's property for the most part from Lower Machota Creek, which in itself is some, times of high energy. But I believe creek here is fairly quiet most of the time.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, yes. I have a question for staff. The applicant indicated that if he went with just stone, that he would have to bring it in on barge, but you're objecting to the nourishment because it would come in on barge. You have a...
The nourishment, we weren't objecting because he had to come in by barge. We actually would prefer by barge.
Oh, okay.
We were saying that the nourishment... Oftentimes we'll see nourishment proposed because it's used for construction access for breakwaters. They'll actually drive equipment out onto that to build the breakwaters, but Mr. Murdoch isn't proposing that, so that's one less reason why we are in support of the nourishment for now.
I guess I misunderstood the process there.
Mr. Chairman, and one final question about the nourishment. What's your justification for recommending that they not have the nourishment in that area?
Simply that if it's a fairly low energy area as far as in the sand, in this photograph you can actually see that the sand is actually moving around this point. There's actually a little bit of a spit this particular day that was right here. There's not a whole lot that's traveling much further up into the creek here. So with such little movement, we think that if you were to backfill now, that it could possibly trap some of that sand or force it much further out into the creek and might starve some of the other properties. Mr. Murdoch is also proposing to come in 2 years after the fact, and I think that if the commission were willing to approve something like that, I think it would be a little bit wise to allow staff at that time to take a new application, determine whether or not nourishment was appropriate because, you know, now they're estimating 444 cubic yards. That's if they did it here today, but it might be less than that, or should be less than that, if he were to get some natural accretion, and we would want to make sure that what they're putting in there is appropriate and not more sand than what would be appropriate.
Thank you. Mr. Tack.
You know, I read this letter received September 7th from Mr. Michael L. Blandingham, shoreline engineer, and he maintains that the erosion is less than 1 foot per year. Do you concur with that?
I don't have that information. I believe he gets that information from them, the shoreline erosion reports, if I'm correct. You may want to... So that's data that's available from the state that they typically use in making their recommendations.
Well, apparently it comes from the Shoreline Situation Report of Westmoreland County, so it's apparently public information.
Hearing no other questions, it matters before the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that we accept the recommendations of staff, namely that the breakwaters be approved as proposed, but breakwaters be constructed in riprap only, and that the proposed nourishment of the groins be denied and therefore there be no fee. However, if the applicant wishes to make another application a couple of years from now after the breakwaters are in, I trust that staff will assist him in that, and VIMS also will assist him at that time to see what nourishment is truly required then.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Unanimous.
I'm sorry.
I was out of the room during the beginning of the presentation.
That direct show that Mr. Bowman abstained. Do we break for lunch? It's about 10 after.
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be a good idea. Lunch is ready, and we will be back in session no later than
quarter of one.
Chairman, yes, sir, Mr. Graham.
Item 9, the protest has been resolved, so we will be handling that administratively, so the next item we have is 10.
Do you have any more like that? Okay, keep marking. Thank you.
Get on the phone, sweetheart.
That's right.
Push that back.
That's all right.